wonder how much more we could get done. If we could have everybody's heart turned toward the Lord at the same time. It wouldn't matter what was going on, pandemic or anything else. It wouldn't matter. Everybody just turn their heart toward the Lord. Thank you, Brother Terrell. Appreciate that preaching. Yeah. Last Brother Bill Eubanks, if he'll come preach at this time. Brother Bill, he's getting ready, he and his wife getting ready to make a trip to Zimbabwe. I'd like for all of y'all to pray for them as they get ready to make that trip. And they'll be up in the mountains of Zimbabwe, where not a lot of missionaries been there. They always find big crowds of people up there somewhere. So y'all pray for them as they get ready.
Amen.
I'd like to thank the church for all that they've done for me and all that you've done for me and all that you've done for me. These last 2 years have been kind of a rebuilding for me, or a getting back or whatever. I kind of took a nosedive, and this church has helped me so much to get back, and I appreciate it very much. Right. Like a couple preachers, would you two stand and pray for me? Both of you. Right. About 1 minute each. And then Brother Green, would you close for 1 minute? Okay, go ahead, start.
Father, love you. Lord, I thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your brother. And thank you, God. I pray for you. Put your hand in our fellowship in a mighty way.
Father, Lord, as Brother Bill often prays for us, Lord, we pray that you get on him.
Yeah.
Lord, I pray that you fill him and use him. God, please. Speak to our hearts.
Please.
Lord, have your will and way in this service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Two things I'd like my wife to stand. Janet, stand up. Stand up. Do a twirl. Just look at the crowd there. I'd like to thank my wife for 53 years of evangelistic work.
Amen.
53 years. You wouldn't believe it by looking at her, would you? Beautiful. She's worked in rescue missions. She's done Bible clubs. She's spoke to ladies. She's passed out over 600,000 chick tracts with her own hands. She's ministered in 24 countries and 35 states in the United States. She dumped out 85,000 gospel tracts in Rome, Italy on the Pope. But probably her biggest job was living with me for 41 years.
Amen.
I am a complete, if I was a woman, I wouldn't want to live with me. I mean, I really would like to live with a man, but you, people think you're queer, you know? But it's just, I don't know how she can put up with me. And we've always got this friction going, you know. We go good for a while, but then we just start going again, and I blame it on her, and she blames it on me. But whatever it is, I'm so happy that I met her, you know, some 40 years ago, and she became my wife. I was looking for a woman, and I got me a spiritual lady, and it was so wonderful. So I thank you, Janet. I thank you so much. We're going to make it, I think. Now, more stories about her in our book back there, 13 Minutes Over the Vatican. And then there's another book. Pastor Jack Wood got a memorial Bible out, and I bought one, and it's just dynamite. Now, there are only 1,000 of those Bibles, and when they're gone, the 1,000, that's it, you know. And they got his notes in the back. He's one of the greatest preachers ever, and a great hero of the faith. I mean great. I mean big time. He's one of those, you know, like Hebrews 11. He's a great man. Great man. And I appreciate him. I was in this building when it was being built, and he was standing over there, and I was standing alongside of him, and had his big hat on. He was going like this. He's looking around, you know. And he said he had gotten some aluminum studs for the walls there. And he's driving down the road, and somebody had them for sale. It was real cheap. So, whoa, cowboy, stop. And bought all those studs. And he said, I got me a man, I got a truck, get those down here. I don't know how many thousands of dollars he saved. But Pastor Farley always said that man was looking for a deal. He was looking for a deal, and he found one. And I got to see him in his deathbed as he was dying, and he really embarrassed me. He called me preacher. I started crying. If you can get some of his tapes, some of you Pony Express and some other, I mean, he's got some stuff. He's got some preaching tapes that are unbelievable. He preached over for Dr. Ruckman over there for a week, and we just shouted it out. And he said, Jack Wood and Dr. Ruckman, what a date. Amen. Well, let's get to text. Mark 16:15. It'll just be one verse. And of these Bible excerpts we heard, one verse will do. They got the 6x6 and 8x8. And, you know, I don't even know where I'm at with these experts. But it's good stuff. One verse. Mark 16:15, please. Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Yep. Let me read that one more time. Yep. He's getting ready to go back to the Father, and he's got his men around him, his disciples, been with him 3.5 years, ate with him, slept with him. And now here's what's the last, kind of like the last will and testament, if you will. And the other gospels back this up. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You reckon that had any weight, or you know what he said? They say when you make a will and you, those last words and you know, is everything, you know? And so That's our text for the night. The Lord Jesus had done the work. He said it's finished on the cross. And when he said it's finished, it's finished. It's all done. You don't need to add nothing to it. You don't need to take away nothing. It's all finished. It's perfect. A perfect work. This piano over here, we got our expert piano player playing. What if I went over there and dumped gasoline on it and took an axe, started hacking it? And the pianist said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm fixing it up. I'm touching it up here." He said, "It was perfect to start with, Bill." And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. His death, burial, and resurrection is perfect. And when he said, "I'm going back, and I want you to preach the gospel." A lot of people get confused. What is the gospel? The gospel is 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 6. How the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. He was buried and rose from the dead 3 days later, according to the scriptures. Seen the Cephas and the 12, and 500 after that, according to the scriptures. That's Paul's gospel revealed. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ wanted these boys to preach after that. And he said, "You boys read me? You got me? This is what I want." And they said, "Yes, sir." And he went up to heaven in the cloud. And the Bible said he's going to return the same way. But he said, "Boys, I ain't going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you the Holy Ghost, and he'll be with you and inside of you, and he'll teach you, and he'll empower you, and he'll be everything to you." You know, a lot of people, Baptists or church members, they're afraid to say Holy Ghost. That's his name. He's a person. He's a third member of the Godhead. He's wonderful. He's everything. He's allowed me to speak tonight with his power. The power of the Holy Ghost. And he's with here if you want him. If you want him. I'll tell you what I've learned about some guys. They don't want him. They really don't. There's too much that can't handle him. I could hardly handle him a few times myself. But you can't. And he's, you don't make deals with him. You don't bargain with him. He either comes or he don't. It's just whatever he wants to do. He does. You just go along with the program or suck on your thumb. I don't know. You just, you just forget it.
Amen.
Hey. The title of the message is, "Are you spinning your wheels? Are you spinning your wheels?" Have you ever got stuck? I mean, really stuck. You know, where you got the thing in the mud or the sand or whatever, and you're stuck and you're going and you just can't get out. And you've just been, and you're about tearing the ring apart, spinning, and the motor's running and everything, and you're trying and you're trying. Some people take their coat off, put under the wheel, and the pry board or shovels or just in there, or whatever, the tide's coming in, they drown, the car drowns out. I mean, have you ever been stuck? I mean, really stuck. It's quite a thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hey. Janet's son, Kian, he's up here in the New Manna Baptist Church in North Carolina, Marion, North Carolina. And he's a good boy. And he used to go with us on mission trips. I love that boy. I wish I could have derailed his marriage and kept him for myself, you know. But it's best that he's got his own stuff. But he was such a helper on the road. He could stop in Mexico parts house, put on a set of brakes. And he used to we showed the movie of scores of time, The Burning Hell. Now, I don't know if you know anything about it. That movie was Carl Lackey and his outfit up there, they made that movie in the 50s or something. And it was the worst movie with the most power on it and won the most souls of any movie probably ever. They took it all over South America and Mexico and Latin America and showed that movie in Spanish in the burning hell. I got a hold of it, and Ken would put up the screen for me in different places. And it was like one of these high-rub plastic men or something, you know, get up there, and Mexico, wires just hanging every place, electric wires.
Oh, yeah.
In Mexico, they got a big nuclear plant. And from there, everybody gets electricity. Now, how you get it, you just scrape your wire, and you put it over your wire, and that's, you know, up there, and that's what you got. And then the kid would put up the wires, and he would do all these things, and he was just a great help. The movie was something. Carl Lackey played Moses, you know. And he said, now y'all better fly right, you know. Or God's putting a fixing to put a hurt on you, you know. Carl Lackey playing Moses like that. In the 50s and that 60s, that film won more souls than you could imagine. And Ken would climb buildings in Mexico and put up that stuff and help me like that. But Ken, when he would come with us on mission trips, he would incorporate some things that he'd like to do on the trip. For instance, in the Dominican Republic, there was a place off where they scuba dived. And he loved that. And so he would go and scuba dive. In Mexico, he went to the bullfights. And then he went to the Mexican wrestling, where they got masks and stuff, and flip around there. And then he went to the Mayan Indians in Mexico City. And he went out there. And he was, he enjoyed himself out there. He was a great, great helper to me out there. We got 250,000 chick tracks in 10 Spanish title in Mexico City. And we got them down there. And after 2 days, they were lined up on the wall, just boxes and boxes. I was out passing them out in a couple of minutes, and hardly made a dent in them. And I said, oh, no, I bit off way more than I could chew now before getting these tracks out. Ken come to me, he said, Bill, don't worry about a thing. They're having the revolutionary parade here in 3 days, and there'll be 1 million people in the parade line. And sure enough, there was, and we got some people from the church, and I hired some people, and we got all those tracks. They were fighting for them at the last to try to do a little side work, but we got all those gospel tracks. God got them out for us. It was just so wonderful. I almost got the president of Mexico, but as I approached him, his bodyguards, I knew they had pistols in their belt, you know, and so they stared at me real hard. And I said, I just want to get Presidente a gospel, you know, Caprice. And they just, you know, looked at me real hard. And I said, would you give him some? Yeah, okay, get out. I'll give him some like that. So we got him over in Kim. He's wonderful. He's just a wonderful young man. He works up there for Brother Shirley and the church, lays rock, does the thing, takes no salary, and he can preach a lick too. He can hit a lick at a snake, and he's pretty good and like that, but a song leader, and anything that the preacher wants him to do, he'll do it. They have in down there in Asheville these big youth conferences and stuff like that. Maybe our preacher, Brother Cox, has been to them. I don't know. But he'll do stuff like this. The preacher would say, we're going to have a snowstorm and a plane wreck. So Ken will go get a rollback truck and go to the airport and find a wrecked plane and put it on the stage. And next thing you got the snow blowing, Operation Rescue. And you got, I don't know how many kids there, 5,000 or something. He's just a good boy. And I asked him one time when he'd gone to, with his church, he'd gone to Africa. And so he had one of these tour guides where they take you out in the bush and run you around in an open truck, and you got these where you can see the lions and the tiger and the elephants and everything, and drive the truck, you know. So we asked his tour guide. He said, now, son, he said, what's the craziest, the wildest thing you ever seen, you know, being a tour guide? How long you been a tour guide? 22 years. What's the wildest thing you ever seen? He said, well, he said, one time there were some tourists, and they had a Land Cruiser, a new, and they were out there. They really shouldn't have been out there. Had a brand new Land Cruiser, and they got stuck. And they was in this ditch like this, and this water buffalo was watching them. Now, this water buffalo, if you've ever seen of a thing that looks like an Armada SUV, it's got horns with twisty curly horns inside of the horns. And the thing looks like a Sherman tank. It's got, this thing is a bad actor. Now, of course, the lion is the king of beasts, but a pack of lions could probably whip this thing, but they would have to bring their lunch, and they wouldn't even, they wouldn't want anything to do with this guy, because he looks like an SUV, armored, and he's got these horns, you know, like that, and he's just a bad dude. I mean, I don't think he's normally mean or would want to kill you, enough, but you don't want to fool with the guy, you know, it's just too much. So anyway, he's up on this little hill, and down there, just this little hill, not far, 20, 30 yards, is this tourist with the SUV. I mean, they got their Land Cruiser, and they're stuck. Now this thing, this water buffalo, it's getting me mad. I don't know why, but he's just starting to get mad. And he's looking at him, and he's starting to get mad. And he's getting mad. And every time it would try to get out or try to get back, he'd just get madder and madder. And pretty soon, he couldn't take it any longer. And he run off that hill and run down the hill, and he charged the Land Cruiser. And the back of it, he charged it full, and he slapped right into the door and tore the door off the thing. And the last thing anybody ever seen of me was headed for Nairobi in the front. And that was the end of that thing. He was a bad, bad actor. So King got to know what the worst thing he'd ever seen down there. Lost my place here.
We're in Africa.
Now, I want to ask you a question. I'm not trying to be smart, a smarty pants. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be cruel. But I want to ask you something, Christian. Are you spinning your wheels? You know, in light of the scripture that we just read, do you give invitation week after week and nobody comes forward? Are you winning souls? He that winneth souls is wise. And I realize, you know, we should know the book and your relationship with Jesus Christ is the most important thing. But that thing, you know, it's hard to handle. But anybody could win souls if they put themselves in a place where you could win them. He that winneth souls is what? Go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, have you kind of lost sight of that? Are you kind of in your zone, or you got your church, or you kind of, everything kind of going pretty, oh, you tithe, and you give to missions, and everything, but you could give a lot more, you know, like that. Are you kind of ease in Zion? You know, it's easy to get that way, and everything's kind of going pretty good, you know, what are we going to have for lunch today? And you go out and everything like that. When the people over there, they live on a dollar a day. And not only do they, I don't say they go hungry, but they're lost. They're lost over there. Do you know, I'm not a hunter or a fisherman. My dad never took me hunting and fishing. But I bet you men that hunt and fish, I bet if I asked you to take me hunting and fishing, you'd take me where we could catch some,
right,
and we could shoot some. I bet you wouldn't just take me out there where no action. What do we do? Go eat now or something? You know, I really bet you would do that. Do you preach the house down? A lot of you preachers. And yet it's kind of a sparkle, but there's really nothing happens. Do you have revival? And then when it's over, it's kind of back to business and like that. You spent that money and like that. Your kids are gone now. You still need that big house? Couldn't you scale down? And do what? Give the money to missions? Or you do it yourself? There's three things you can do, and we'll get into that in a second. Would you trade the American dream for God's dream? For what God wants? Would you trade for what you want? Your comfort? Your dreams? Your whatever's important to you? Would you trade it for what God wants for you? Would you do it? Matthew Colbert gave up his commission in the United States Army to become a missionary. At Shangri-La, he did valiant service in the Taiping riots. A minister said to him, "Colbert, if you were at home, you might be a major general." The missionary replied, "Doubtless I might. Men who I've taught at West Point are major generals today." And then he added these words with deep earnestness, "But I would not change places with one of them. I consider there is no post of influence on earth equal to that of a man who is permitted to preach the gospel.
Amen.
He has chosen the better part and had no yearning after secular honors." Dr. Wilder was told a dynamic missionary leader in India was dining with three naval officers. During the course of the conversation, one of the officers remarked, "Why don't those missionaries stay home, mind their own business?" Dr. Wilder replied, "Suppose you were ordered to take your battleship to Constantinople tomorrow. Would you choose whether to obey or not?" The officer retorted, "If we were ordered to go, we must go, even if every ship is sunk and every sailor killed." "Quite right," said the missionary. "I have orders from the divine government. Go and preach the gospel to every creature." Isn't that our marching orders,
yes,
Christian?
Yes.
Isn't that
yeah,
the main deal? Isn't that, I hate to word it,
it's
a thrust, you know, but isn't that it? Is it not?
Yes,
is it
sir,
not the main thing?
Yeah.
On January 24th, in 1848, James Marshall, discovered gold at Sutter's Mill in Coloma, California. Coloma is halfway between Sacramento and Placerville, California, up Highway 50, up to Lake Tahoe. I've been there many times. James Marshall worked at Sutter's Mill at the sawmill in Coloma. I've worked in several sawmills in Oregon and California. So working in the sawmill and logging, it's a good hard work, and it's good honest work. And Mr. Marshall, on his day off, he was hunting deer near Sutter's Creek. The water in that creek was about waist high, and it was very clear and very, you could see down to the bottom like that. And walking along Sutter's Creek, he spotted something in the water. And he looked, and he looked again, and he got out there, and he waded out there about up to here, and reached down and picked it up. There's a nugget about this side, pure gold. He looked around a little bit more. His heart started beating. And he looked around. I mean, who don't love a buck? Come on. And he started looking around a little bit more. And he picked up another one. And another one. And another one. And pretty soon they were all over the place. And he discovered the 1848 Gold California Gold Rush. And tried to keep it a secret for a while. But somebody that discovers something that rare and that powerful, I mean that beautiful and that rich and like that, something like that, it would hard to be keep it a secret. And eventually the word got out and the start of the great California Gold Rush. It actually changed the whole state and the rush was on. About 15 years ago, I found a place to prospect. We just got back from Belize, where God had left 250,000 chick tracks in that country. And I ran into a missionary I know, and he said, "Brother, Africa is wide open." Within a couple of months, we arrived in Nairobi, Kenya. And let me read you some results God gave us on that first trip to Kenya. This was a Bible that I kept some records of souls. I ended up kind of just giving up putting the records in. Here's what I got. The slum, 32 saved. Night roadside preaching, 11 saved. The market, 15 saved. Church, 5 saved. University, 3 saved. School, 200 saved. School, 200 saved. Market, 21 saved. Market, 20 saved, 45 saved, 125 saved, mostly in the schools. And what I discovered was over there, after going a number of times and getting in the right country, that they're just souls like gold nuggets at Sutter's Creek. They're just laying there on the ground. It's just wonderful. The gold is there. Wouldn't you like to win the soul winner's crown? Wouldn't you like to win that? A lot of you haven't won it, have you? You know, I don't know what it'd take to win it. Won, I guess. But anyway, I've won it. And I'm just a no good nothing, but I've won that. I have the Love's appearing crown. I got two. I'm not doing so good on the temperance one, you know, where you got to watch your diet. I'm not really doing good on that. But I got a couple. I figured out a long time ago, what could I do to please God and pay him back? Nothing. Except win the 5 crowns and throw them at his feet at the judgment seat of Christ and win those crowns. When we all do that. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful to have won hundreds, if not thousands, of souls? They're over there to win. They're in Africa right now. You can go over there and win them. Let me read you some results. I've read you. The gold is there. Your love has a broken wing if it cannot fly across the sea. You won't go across the sea. You don't love. For over 30 years, the Salvation Army and William Booth, in particular, were subject to some of the most vile persecutions Christians suffered in modern times. But the general lived to see the day his army would be honored around the world. His own King Edward VII invited him to Buckingham Palace in 1904. All the persecution and trials of the previous decades must have seemed insignificant as Booth, as he heard King Edward say, "You're doing a good work, a great work, General Booth." When the king asked Booth to write in his autograph album, the old man, now 75, bent forward, took the pen, and summed up his life's work. "Your Majesty, some ambition is art, some man's ambition is fame, some men's ambition is gold. My ambition has been the souls of men." Don't you want to be a soul winner? Let's look at some of the excuses that are going through your head right now. You don't want to go. I know. Materialism, your comfort zone, your take it easy. Let's look at some. It's dangerous. Somebody said it's dangerous. Are you kidding? Janet and I have been over there 15 years and nothing has ever happened to us. Not even close. Brother Wood preached for Dr. Ruckman some time ago. And when we asked Brother Wood, what's in that briefcase? He said, oh, a knife, a gun. I got some things in there. And we said, he said, you come to Houston, you better get you two briefcases. It is more dangerous down at the 6th Motel where I'm staying right now than it is in Africa, I'm telling you. And these people banging on the street, they're getting where they want to assault you or something or scare you, you know, and like especially at night they jump out, you know, want you to give them something. You know, I give people money, alms, when I see them. But none of those guys, you got a guy 200 pounds, 25 years old, begging on the street. And, sorry, pal, cigarette. No, I ain't going to give nothing out to you. You say you're not called. You're not called. Are you on the main line where you can get the call? Are you open to the call? Like Pastor Farley said about chopping down the redwood tree. Why don't you chop a spell? And then ask God about it after you chopped. It's like the preacher said this morning, the one he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, man. He was, where is that guy? Is he gone? Anyway, he was, right. Yeah, there he is. Man, that's something, isn't it? Those old time preachers, they said they couldn't take it. You know, and I read about it. And Brother Farley spotted it right away. Said, that guy's filled. Whew. Like he said, are you willing? Are you willing? That's the whole thing. I got something another step further. Are you willing to be made willing? That's number two. It was told while at the beach in Jacksonville, Florida one summer, I saw a lifeguard suddenly jump to his feet in his tower. He took the Red Cross flag out of a standard, waved it frantically so they could see him at the mainline guard station. He then threw it on the ground, jumped up, grabbed a life buoy, and rushed into the water. With strong strokes, he swam toward the man, waiting for help. In a few seconds, siren wailed as the ambulance came, and three other guards swam out to help. They rescued the man and gave him artificial respiration. Scores gathered around. All were deeply moved that the man was revived. The same scene was repeated several times that day, for the undertow was unusually strong. Late afternoon, this man says he went to the main lifeguard station to say thanks to the dedication of these men. And when he walked into the station, he was struck by a sign on the wall in large red letters which read, when in doubt, go. When in doubt, go. I'd say that to you this morning, brothers and sisters. Just go when in doubt. What do you got to lose? And what do you got to gain? Here's some legitimate excuses. Are you winning a lot of souls now? Good, and then say amen and praise the Lord and thank you so much. Are you giving most of your money to missions and trying to give more money? Praise the Lord. Just stay right there. Are you a prayer warrior? How's that going? Don't go too good for me. I ain't praying high. I want to be, but I guess I don't want to be. I don't know. You know, you can start Faith Promise if you're not up here. Faith Promise missions work, and they get money for missions. All those missionaries on the wall and all the money. This church has pumped $25 million into foreign missions. $25 million. It's all been Brother Woods' strong suit is to have that missions like going like that. I'd like to tell you what we do over there. We're specializing in schools, but Janet does the hospitals and the buses and downtown in the small city south of the capital. I'm in the mountains, and that's where the action is. The kids in the mountains are They're wonderful kids. They don't have a smartphone. They don't have a cell phone. I wonder why they're so well-mannered, and I wonder why they're so just the way they are. They're wonderful children up there. I was saved at 10 years old in a Baptist camp. My dad dumped me off. So I know about 10-year-old boys, and these kids up there are wonderful. You drive up on the school grounds, and you just drive, and then there it is. And there's a big piece of land, and the Zimbabwe flag up there. And there's a few kids out in the yards out there, you know, and they're starting looking around. And you drive up and park, and pretty soon a couple kids come up, and they'll lead you to the headmistress or headmaster's office. And you go in there, and lady's there. And she said, "Won't you sit down? Thank you. Would you like a cup of tea or water?" "No, thank you." And you have some small talk. And she said, "Well, where are you from?" "Seattle, Washington." Oh, my niece went to the University of Washington. Oh, yeah. And then she looks and just, we kind of sit there. And she said, "Why are you here?" And already she's starting to cry. She's a saved woman, but she doesn't witness to her school kids. How do you figure that? I don't know, but that's the way it is. But she's so happy we're there. So she said, "Why are you here?" And I said, "I'm here to tell your kids about the Lord Jesus Christ and how they can end up in heaven and have their sins forgiven." Oh. She looks out the window and she said, "You see that tree over there, preacher?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Suppose we got you a pitcher of water and got the kids around that tree in a semicircle and put you over there. Would that be okay? Can you talk to them over there?" Oh, I said, "That'd be wonderful." And then somebody rings a bell. Gong, 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 gong. And here they come. 40 to 300 to 400 sometimes out of these classrooms. And they come and they get in a semicircle, the little kids right in front, and the bigger, and the bigger, and the bigger. They're just wonderful. And the teachers, they got a switch. Now, they don't hurt them, but they give them a little tap now and then, you know, like that. And then, you know, it don't hurt them. My mother gave me some taps, I'll tell you that. And so the kids are like that. And then you get in front of the kids. And the most attentive, watchful, respectful, quiet group of kids you ever preached to in your whole life. And then I got my interpreter, Tom Timba, and then we worked together as a team. And I preach in English, and he preaches Shona. They'll all tell you they know English, but they know the Shona and like that. And so we preach kind of theatrical a little bit, you know, like a burning building. And he jumps on my back and I pretend I'm going up to say, "Boy, come out. Come us, you know, save you," and all that. And then I take the sun. I said, "Kids, look up at that sun." And they all look up there like that. You know, I said, "Don't look too long." I said, "You know, God made that sun. And he takes that sun and bounces around like a little playboy, like a play ball." And the kids are just like that. And I tell them about a Savior that loved them and died for them. And I give them the gospel. And I tell them about Jesus Christ. And then I say, "Now we're going to have the sinner's prayer. And I'm very careful not to make it too long or make it too short. Because the little kids now in front, if they take a little time, they're a little, like that. But I give it something like this. Kids, words won't save you. But if you mean business and want Jesus to come in your heart and save you and take you to heaven, repeat this prayer." And I give it something like this. "Dear Lord Jesus," my interpreter over here in Shona, blah, blah, blah. "I know that I'm a sinner. I have done wrong. Blah, 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 blah. And Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. And Lord Jesus, I believe you'll save me if I ask you. And Lord Jesus, the best way I know how,
oh, yeah.
I ask you to forgive me my sins, come into my heart, save my soul, and take me to heaven when I die. Thank you, Lord Jesus. No one knows the heart, but by then the teachers are crying, and the Holy Ghost is over there like a big cloud over the whole outfit, like that. And everybody, and the kids pray like this, like this. And it sure looks to me like they mean business, like that. Looks like about a 95% success rate there. The only trouble I have sometimes is the older kids, the high school, a few of them just get on. But I call them down, and they calm right down that. But what a wonderful ministry. Then I say, now, we have a book for you. And I pulled out the chick track and a box. And every kid gets a book. So you take the book home to your mom and dad. These are chick tracks with black characters on them. And Jack printed them up special for us, 12 of them, 12 titles. And I said, you take them home to your mom and dad and show them and tell them that Jesus in your heart. And I said, kids, if something you got distracted or something, you can take the track on the last page and go out in the brush out there, whatever. Or tonight, if you really didn't, I don't know, and asked Jesus Christ to save your soul. And then we just pack up and just leave rejoicing, them waving, and we just leave and go to the next church, next school. Now, in Zimbabwe, there are 7 school districts, from the mountains to the desert, for all around, 7 of them. We have done half of one. The rough one on the side of the river. Now when we go back in May, we'll finish that up. There's 6 more to be done. You can take and just stay over there all your life and just do the circuit and start here and just go back and just go back. And they literally end up winning thousands of those kids to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, is there to win if you want to? Now, Janet and I leave for Zimbabwe May the 1st, and we will be there through September. And you can come anytime down there and stay with us. Janet will be in the more of the small town, and I'll be in the mountains. So if you're a man, you come up in the mountains, stay with me, and a woman, stay with Janet down there if you want to bring your wife. And why don't you come down and just check it out? Why don't you come? I suggest you come down for 2 weeks. 10 working days would be worth the ticket, wouldn't it? Like that? Come down. Well, I preached what God wanted me to preach, and I thank you very much. And our card's back there. And you can get a hold of us while we're in Africa. People around here will know how to do that. And if you want to come, I'll meet you at the airport. And we'll take you down, and you stay with us, and we'll bring you back. Pastor, I thank you so much for letting me speak. And thank you so much. Don't you want to be a soul winner?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Don't you want to... You know, fortune favors the bold.
Yeah.
Love you. Thank you.
Amen, brother. Amen, brother. You may. You said y'all come to Greg Play and say. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every preacher.
Yes.
We live in a day and time that you can literally do that. You can literally do that.
Yes, sir,
you can go anywhere in the world.
Yes, sir.
Not every nation in Africa is open yet.
Right.
We can't We can't get into Nigeria yet for our orphanage, but he's got plane tickets to get to Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
They've already got them reserved. They're getting ready to go.